Hi, this is Jerome Gilmartin. Welcome to In Love of Christ, a weekly Catholic program on a variety of topics. We're coming to you pre-recorded through listener-supported JMJ Radio, 750 AM, in its studio at the Oblates of St. Joseph Seminary in Pittston, Pennsylvania. Now, last week, we aired a program on the subject of Curcio, and at that time, and in fact, we're actually doing two programs at my home the same evening, but the program for last week, we had Father Phil Slatica with us, the spiritual director of Curcio in the Scranton Diocese, and George and Loretta Syracuse, who shared their Curcio experience with us. And tonight, or I should say again, for this program, we have Father Slatica back with us. Welcome, Father.
Thank you, Jerry.
Mm-hmm. And Pat and Tony O'Reilly, who each made a Curcio separately, of course, as we do, about 4 years ago. And they're going to share with us what Curcio has meant to them. But first, Father, would you offer an opening prayer for us?
I'd be happy to do that. With every Curcio gathering, we always pray the prayer to the Holy Spirit. So if we could begin tonight, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Come, Holy Spirit, and fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of the faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us by the same Holy Spirit to be truly wise and ever to rejoice in his consolations, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Pat and Tony, as I say, you've each made a Curcio a while back. I don't know which one of you would like to begin to share your thoughts.
I don't mind going first.
Okay, Tony.
As you said, my name is Tony O'Reilly. We're from St. Luke's in Strasbourg.
Oh, yes.
And but my spiritual journey started out in Ireland. That's where I was born. That's where I received.
Mm-hmm. Now we might have guessed that from your accent.
I just wanted to be clear.
Yeah. Okay.
But,
surely.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
In 1972, I came to this side of the world, and I've been here ever since. But so as a child, you know, I received my spiritual foundation there from my parents and the community I grew up in. And, you know, it was the early 60s, you know, free love, free everything.
Oh,
crazy,
yes.
You know, that didn't go unnoticed in Ireland. You know, it wasn't only here and in San Francisco. It was,
over there too. And
so.
Much of the free world, I think, back then. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, as I
might even say, since then.
Since then, yes. So in the mid to late 60s, you know, I had drifted away from my faith. It didn't coincide with what the other ideas I had for my life.
Mm-hmm.
My ideal was to have fun, have a good time, and travel, you know.
Yes.
So sometime later, to shorten the story, I met my wife the first day I came to New York. So she knew something was good the minute she seen me, I assume.
apparently so.
Yeah.
We'll have to hear her point of view on that a little later in the program, maybe. But, okay, we'll take that as a given, but go ahead.
But after we had our first child, I'm not sure if it was our first or second, we just have two children, she encouraged me to get back to church.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was only recently, I was thinking, you know, I was away quite a few years, but, you know, it's funny how we have a memory of convenience. If you had asked me, you know, last year, I might have told you it was just a few years, but it was quite, you know, quite a few years, maybe 8 or 10 years.
So you've been married how long?
Married for 38, is it 38 years?
Yeah. 38 years. And so she encouraged you to come back to church.
Yes.
36, yeah. 5, 4 years ago, thereabouts. Early in your marriage. Okay.
I'm not sure long it's after
long,
our first
long before you heard about Curcio.
Correct.
Okay.
So, you know, so the, you know, we just come back into church, and you know, you can walk in, walk out, and you know, I used to call it, you check in as you dip into the holy water, and you check out as you walk out. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, life got busy, and you know, in search of the American dream. And,
yes.
You know, all along, I realized that you know, I was missing something, and. There was a couple of times in my life, I'm a small contractor in New York, and that's what I do for a living.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a couple of occasions that I could have become a bigger contractor, but the Lord made sure that I wasn't going to get too big. So a few hard knocks here and there, you know, mm-hmm. kind of brought me down to reality. But I had a series of events happen to me. Like 3 or 4 bad events, and one kind of, you know, started right after another. And mm-hmm. You know, I used to think that there were bad events, but I realized lately it was for my own good. You know, so
this is during your marriage.
During my marriage,
you were living
later,
in New York.
Yeah, exactly.
This is
contractor. Almost 5 years ago, you know, before I made my crusade.
Mm-hmm.
So I was sitting in St. Luke's. We have a fabulous, two wonderful priests there, Father Tom and Father Perry.
In St. Luke's in Strasbourg. In Strasbourg.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I can still see Father Perry, you know, as he, you know, in his homily, he said, we need to increase our faith, you know. And I'm sitting there, and at the time, I'm in a lot of pain. You know, I'm sitting there in pain and
spiritual pain,
spiritual,
well, moral,
you know,
not physical, not so much physical, but
lost, you know, a little bit confused.
Yeah, yeah.
The world was knocking me around. And so when he said that, it seemed like his eyes came around and just centered on me. And I said to myself, he knows I'm a phony. You know, and but.
You were in that, you know, state of mind.
I was in that state of mind. And,
yeah.
You know, so, you know, I didn't know quite, I didn't know how to increase my faith, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I knew if I, you know, if I talked to Father Perry after Mass, he'd probably say, well, pray some more, Tony. I just didn't know, you know. And so a couple of months later, we had this gentleman come in to do a talk on the possibility of making a crusade, Peter Grund. And Peter walked in that day, and I can still see him up on the altar, and he had a light green suit on, shirt and tie, and you know, this image, sort of, I'm looking at this big man standing up there talking about the possibility of making a crusade, and I had no idea what it was. So I said at that time, I said, no matter what it is, it sounds like something good. If he took the time to come all the way down here to talk to me about that, I said, I'm going to go.
And it wasn't just because he was dressed in green.
No.
I just want to make that clear. Go ahead.
Olive green.
Olive green. Oh, that doesn't count at all. But anyway, go ahead.
Anyway, I just knew there had to be something good there, and maybe the Lord was speaking to me, you know, you'll get some answers there. So I decided to go, and, you know, I had several things happen leading up to it. It was a couple of months away, and I remember thinking, no matter what, I'm going to go. You know, there's a couple of events came up that would take precedent over it. You know, it would be easy to say no, but I said, I'm going to go. So I went. Anyway, I'm taking too long here, but...
No. We're good.
But on the first night, when I got there, you know, I went with an open mind. You know, I just wanted to go. And
this Curcio was here in this diocese?
Yes.
And,
yeah, St. Gabriel's up
there. St. Gabriel's in Clark Summit. Uh-huh.
And so that first night, you know, when we went into the chapel, And we have a wonderful deacon here, and you might know, a lot of people might know him, Deacon Leo Lynn.
Very well, sure,
so,
surely. Yeah.
So Deacon Leo got up there and he did a meditation on the prodigal son. And, you know, it just touched me so much. You know, I just, once I seen and realized where I was.
Yes.
With a group of men, you know.
Yes.
This, I realized this is what I was waiting for all the time. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I get a bit emotional thinking about that.
Perfectly okay.
Mm. So, you know, I knew I was in the right place. I knew I was home. And it was just a fabulous experience the whole weekend. You know, mm-hmm. One talk kind of builds on another.
Exactly.
You know, and if you think about it, we have no, we've no, after, you know, when I think of growing up, you know, after confirmation, there really is nothing for people unless they really seek it, you know. So,
yeah.
You know, this was something that really touched my heart. And, you know, there's always, you always feel like there's something that you needed to ask, but you don't want to ask a stupid question sort of thing. And Crisio kind of gave all the answers, you know.
Yeah,
back to
really
the beginning.
Does.
It goes back to the beginning. It mm-hmm. teaches you who you are, why you're here,
mm-hmm.
And it goes on from there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it was just...
And Father may have a comment about some of the things that are covered spiritually, you know, in Crisio. There's this sequence of talks beginning with one. We might mention the ideal talk. You know, it's a very general talk about where are we really and where are we coming from and such. And the talks build from there. I think there are, what, 15 talks?
15 talks, exactly. And they are given by spiritual directors, a priest, and also lay people. And talks such as grace and the sacraments and the talks that are more theological are done by the priests who may be on, or the deacons, and even some sisters who have given talks on various parts of the theological points of the Crisio. And the laymen take the talks on ideal relationships with the priest, a layman's role in the church, and it's very inspiring and uplifting. Mm-hmm. I recently listened to a retreat by Father Larry Gillick, who is a Jesuit, and he talked about that if you wanted to have a beautiful flower, you could take a paintbrush out and you could paint that flower to be as beautiful as you'd like it to be, or you could dig around the flower and fertilize it and nurture it and work with it so that it eventually would have beautiful blooms that would be magnificent, but not so much because you've done something externally, like our friend Tony was saying. He checks in by dipping his hand in the holy water and checks out when he dips his hand in it again, so that it's not just an action we do, but rather it's something that takes place at the heart of a Christian, the heart of a person who would go through Crisio. So it's a transformation, really. It's mm-hmm. not just applying an external view to who we are as mm-hmm. Christians, but it really is something substantial that takes place within our hearts that mm-hmm. that changes us. It truly changes us as we, mm-hmm. you know, make that Crisio. And we begin to look on other people truly as seeing Christ and to see our world in the way that Christ would, and begin to reflect deeply on how would Christ react to this and what am I called to do and how can I go deeper. And
yes.
So I think that's... really what Tony's quest was, but actually what every person on Crisio begins to experience. And I think it's a beautiful mm-hmm. thing.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
That was beautiful what happened to you, Tony. Very beautiful.
Father, yeah. Father mentioned the word transform. And Pat, maybe you might give us your thoughts as to how you were transformed by Crisio from the woman's point of view.
Like Tony, I went to Crisio in 2007 at his strong encouragement, I'll say nicely.
And it pushed you out the door, didn't it?
No, kind of pushed the application in front of me every other day and printed out new ones when I would happen to lose them. And so I thought I'll go.
You happen to lose them, okay.
Yes.
I thought maybe I lost a few myself.
Exactly. So I decided I'd go and have a nice relaxing weekend for myself from Thursday to Sunday and prepared to have a nice reading time. Mm-hmm. Of which,
didn't get a whole lot of time.
I never took the book out of the suitcase. never
say.
Had time to take it out. Barely had time to sleep that weekend. But my more awakening that day, my transformation, came on not on Thursday like Tony had mentioned, but more on Friday. And I'm a skeptical person. I check things out 110%, so I need that extra few hours more than most people.
Mm-hmm.
And it was during one of the talks, it was probably the second or third talk, and I couldn't even tell you what it was, because all of a sudden I was sitting there in a room full of women. It was very, very warm October day, and tears started flowing out of my eyes. And I have to explain that it wasn't crying, because you're not sobbing, you know, and trying to catch your breath with the tears. But all of a sudden, this fountain started coming out of my two eyes, and I was like, what's wrong with you? And but I felt this, like, lightness about me, but these tears were just coming down. And I said, I'm almost embarrassed to turn around, you know, to anybody to see me. And when I turned around, I was probably one out of probably 10 that were doing the exact same thing I was, just the flowing. And that seemed to be my wake-up. That was my my transformation, as you said before. It was like all of a sudden I knew why I was there. I knew I loved being there. And I knew that I really loved the way I felt about myself. You know, a lot of women have tremendous issues about self-esteem and all this other stuff. And when you realize that nobody is looking at you any way different or thinking who you are is anywhere different, we're all equal. Every age was the same age. Every race was the same race. Every married or single person was the same. And the grouping that we made of ourselves that week was just unbelievable. I worked for 30 years in the city of departments of all men, and to be this close with women, you know, I never dreamt of it. That was just the way I was all my life. But now, the women I've met through Curcio, I mean, I crave them mm-hmm. when I'm not with them. I crave their, especially if you're having a bad day, you're like, oh, gosh, I wish
probably,
I had some of the women around me. You know?
Probably call each other every now and then just for
moral
email
support. Email is fabulous, too. Yeah. You mm-hmm. know, when you're having a bad night and you don't want to call someone, you just write to them and they send you these beautiful words.
Yes.
But the words come from you, too, when they're in bad mm-hmm. States
yeah.
and needs, too. But it's fulfilled my life. I know mm-hmm. that. It's fulfilled our life as a married couple. Mm-hmm. But it's fulfilled it, I think, as individuals also.
Mm-hmm. And we did speak about in an earlier programs actually about how the men typically group together and the women typically group, you know, with other women. And then monthly we have what we call an Altreya, an upward kind of
onward
and upward. And at that monthly meeting, men and women get together and share together and such. It's really, I think, maybe the test, the best test of Curcio has been the test of time. As I think I might have mentioned earlier, that Curcio began back in the, actually during World, well, right toward the end of World War II, back in Spain. And it's been ongoing and growing ever since, all over the world. And so the Curcio method, as they call it, it sounds almost too straight and unemotional about it. But the Kursiel method, when you live that method, it really, really transforms your life. Mm-hmm. You have friends that you never knew you had before. Special friends, friends who really aren't just looking at the outer layers of the onion, so to speak, but as deeply as you want to share with them, they're there for you, and vice versa. We kind of talked a little bit about your experiences on the weekend. So after the weekend, Tony, you found a group, I guess, and some guys that you do meet with occasionally, weekly, or how's that work for you now?
Well, absolutely. Even though going back to my pre-Kursiel days, I knew that something wrong. You know, we'd turn around to each other, and sign a peace, and shake hands, and then we'd walk out on the street, and we would even say hello to you.
Yeah.
And I knew there was something fundamentally wrong with that. That there's something missing here.
Yeah.
So that was such a huge thing to me, to find a group of people that were on the same journey, you know, that I could join with, that I could be a part of. And group is so important, you know, because I can look around my church, and when I see Kursiistas, I say, you know, men or women, we have a special bond. We have a special friendship. Because when you put Christ at the center of any friendship, it's a special friendship. It's not, you know, we don't have to think about, I wonder what kind of car that guy drives. You know, there's none of that.
The focus is on Christ.
Mm-hmm. And when you put Christ, and even like she said in our marriage, when we always had Christ in our marriage, but we never actually acknowledged him. He was for Sunday, you know, for that 1 hour. So in and out, and you know, no one. You know, I'm reading a book at the moment. It's called "What We Know We Can't Not Know." There's certain things we know,
and you can't not know them.
We can't not know them because they're built into us already.
Yeah.
You know? So, but anyway, back to the group.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I was so blown away by Kursiel that the first year I didn't do very much, and it was kind of hard to get a group together.
Mm-hmm.
But
because you were in New York, working in New York.
I'm in Strasbourg.
Oh, that's right.
I spend 3 nights a week in Strasbourg and 4 nights in New York. So you know, it's 90 miles away.
Okay.
But, so, you know, we put together a group. Some more men went on the Kursiel the following year, and it allowed us to create this group. It's a little hard to keep them together, but we manage to get together and... you know, and I think it's such a fabulous thing because, you know, we get to share with each other how we're doing, what we're doing. You know, sometimes somebody might think they have nothing to offer in the group, but they'll say something and it'll wake something in me, and we go around.
Yes.
But that is it made me also see Kursiel for me led me to many different things. You know, I love EWTN. I love.
Oh yes.
I have XM radio in my car. I have Catholic radio,
mm-hmm.
and I love, you know, these programs mm-hmm. in the morning. And you know, when I think of what I used to listen to, and the stuff I listen to today, it has value, you know. And I look for it has substance. It has something of quality, you know.
Yes.
It's not junky stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we get together, we share from the heart, and. We hug each other at the end of the...
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know. Pat, maybe you have some thoughts to share from the point of view of a woman and your grouping.
Right. It was a little difficult, like Tony's, to get it off the ground. There are a lot of Kursiistas in our parish, mm-hmm. a lot from many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it just had, you know, just kind of not died, but just kind of laid off on the side. But then we have now 6 women, give or take 2 or 3, that meet every other Sunday after 10:15 Mass. And when it started, you know, I was like, oh, you know, you could be doing other things after 10:15 Mass. And now, as soon as you get there, you crave it. All of us knew each other from church every Sunday, but yet none of us ever talked. You know, it was like, you know, when you're alone in a crowd. Well, sometimes you can be alone in a crowd in church too.
Yes.
And
yes.
Now, you know, we give each other the nod, like, okay, we're meeting. We're meeting now at 10:15. You know, after Mass, and yes, we're going, and we go down there. And now we run longer than the men's. where before
yeah.
we were done in a half hour because we weren't comfortable enough. But now it's so rewarding. It's so, you could talk about anything.
Mm-hmm.
You could talk about anything. You could talk about family, your feelings, your kids. Talk about you.
Mm-hmm.
And they're so attentive and so listening. And helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a great part.
And I imagine, as with so many Cursiestas, they're doing things in the parish. They might be saying, you know, Meals on Wheels or something I think I could do, or I'm maybe going to work. There's a food pantry program at our parish, or the parish needs a lector,
mm-hmm.
or they need Eucharistic ministers, or there's somebody in the neighborhood who's really hurting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe there's been flood damage or something like that. There are people there
mm-hmm.
who are, after Curcio, from what I find, are much more inclined, you know, spiritually motivated
mm-hmm.
to help others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you really begin to internalize the gospel, you know,
yeah.
and Christ's message. And it's really a beautiful, beautiful thing to see.
A lot of our six women will say, I would say over half of them are now going to Bible study, which we have every Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
All of us worked on the church festival. We have a soup kitchen every Saturday. I know mm-hmm. there's two of them that do that all the time. So yeah, it does, and it just makes you aware of things to do.
Yeah. Before our program ends, as it will fairly soon, let me tell our listeners how they can learn more about Curcio. On the internet, you can find the local Curcio website just by keying in two words to your search engine, Scranton Curcio, and it'll be right there on the first page. Or call Joe Alanoski, pre-Curcio chairman, in Archbald, 876-4087. 876-4087. And Father, as we end the program, would you maybe give your
sure, I'd be very,
closing blessing?
Very happy to. And I'd like to pray for all those listeners who may be interested in growing spiritually, that they would find their way to Curcio and be able to truly find a place that they belong with other Christians who can support and love them and help them on that path to know Jesus Christ and in a deeper way. And now the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
And may Almighty God bless you and keep you. May He let His holy face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may God give you His peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
De Cloris, everybody.
De Cloris.
Thank you, Father Slatica. And thank you, Pat and Tony O'Reilly, for your inspiring testimony as to what Curcio has meant to you. May it inspire many of our listeners to look into Curcio for themselves. They'll be glad they did, as I was. That's all the time we have for now. Please join us next week for another program in Love of Christ series. Until then, God bless.